this gospel meeting pertain to the church, the past, the present, and the future. And I like to echo the sentiments of Paul when he says in the book of Ephesians, God had ordained him to preach the unsearchable riches in Christ Jesus. And you know, the Bible is unsearchable. I was explaining to my mother, there's enough information to preach for a whole month about the church. So it just goes to show you that God's word, you can never exhaust it. If you find that it's boring, I assure you it's not because of the Bible. It's some other factor. But I am grateful for the brethren to allow me to exercise my faith. You know, when you go to school, you learn all these Bible things and spiritual things. It just, you know, makes you gotta release it somewhere. And so I appreciate y'all letting me release these things that I've studied. And as Brother Emmett mentioned, it's good to see everybody. We are all together in one mind and in one judgment. And as we look into the mind of God concerning the church. Now, you know, the church is important. The church is vitally important. It's important because Jesus, he had died. The church implies that something is wrong with the world. Because the original pattern that we have witnessed this morning, that God, when God made the world, his plan was for man to be perfect. How you like that? No flaws. We often say that I'm not perfect. Yeah, I understand that. But the plan was that God wanted all of us to be perfect. In fact, this is the original plan. God wanted to make one planet with one people singing praises to the one God throughout all eternity, and step and come down on earth and how y'all doing, and then go back. Come on down, how y'all doing, and go back all throughout eternity. Now that was the original plan. That was it. We was to be perfect without any spot or blemish. But we all know what happened, don't we? Sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, that messed up the plan. And so God had to put something in the world to restore or bring back to man, bring man back to where he was from the beginning. And that's the church. So which implies that if the world was perfect, there wouldn't be no need for no church. How you like that, Brother Banks? We won't need no place to put salvation, put hope, put the scripture. Everything you could possibly need for the body and the spiritual man is found right in the church. And I ain't talking about in this building, nah. All right? Anybody? Not here in the building. The church is a spiritual concept, and I'm gonna explain that in a moment. So the church is very, it's very important to the salvation, to our destiny. And we all know that we're going to expire, don't we? I don't even like driving past graveyards because it just reminds me of my mortality. Huh? It reminds me of all of our mortality. And the question still remains, where will I go when I leave? But if you know about the church, it can give you hope. And so, the text I'm going to use for our hearing is found in the book
in the letter of Ephesians chapter 4, with the seven ones is what they call it. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Seven ones, that's an identifying mark already. Everybody know the number seven refers to God. And you can clearly see from here that the seven ones give you a picture of the identifying marks. First of all, the identifying marks of the Trinity. But before we do, let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to thy throne again. Please help us to understand and see the significance of the divine church and the identifying marks. Help us to see the simplistic logic and rational of this biblical truth. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One body refers to the church. One spirit, Holy Spirit. One hope, that's heaven. One Lord, we all know that, that's Jesus. One faith, that's the doctrine. One baptism, that's the practice. One God and Father of it all. That's the supreme authority. Now, with that being said, there is a problem. The book of Ephesians is that the theme is the glorious church. Colossians, it talks about the head of the church because these two congregations had different problems. The book of Colossians had a problem with Jesus. We don't know if Jesus is really a real person. How can somebody live a perfect life and then die and come back to life and then go back to heaven and make angels? They couldn't understand that. Gnosticism is what they call it. Well, the book of Ephesians takes the camera, goes off of Christ, and it centers on the church. The church is the body of Christ, the people of God. Now, the word church presupposes that something is called out. I'm reminded of an old illustration. Now, my instructors taught me that they say an illustration is a window into the truth. Because sometimes we still think in physical terms and stuff, you know, can't understand it. Like Jesus, he gives us the parable and then he gives us the spiritual meaning. Because some of it, we just stuck. We just think tangible. We think with the five senses. Well, anyway, the story goes that the man, it was a man, his wife died. His wife just died, and he was a barbecue man, and he was living out in the country, and his son and his wife decided to visit him. And they went to visit, and you know, he just liked to feed people barbecue. And as they sat around the table, and they was eating barbecue, and the wife complimented, it was a fine meal, but she noticed the glass was greasy. You know, and there was a little grease around the glass, and then she noticed that the forks was greasy. You know when you go visit somebody, we be looking at how clean their dishes are. You know, some people do it. But anyway, the man was checking on his daddy. And so, and then, she whispered, baby, something wrong with daddy. His dishes greasy. And the son said, Dad, why your dishes are greasy? And daddy said, son, that's good as cold water can get it. That's as good as cold water can get it. And he like, Dad, it's grease. Son, that's the good as cold water can get it, son. I try to tell you. And so maybe they started with, well, maybe daddy need a hot water heater. His hot water going out, something. And so they decided to surprise him and sneak on out, go get him a hot water heater. And that was so as they was making their way to the door, there was an old dog. He didn't want to get out the way. You know, dogs are lazy, you know. The joke was laid in front of the door,
And he didn't want to move. And then said, Dad, tell this dog to move. And he said, oh, cold water, if you don't get out the way. Oh, y'all got that?
Yeah.
Now, see, now let me pour this truth in your head. That illustration illustrates that words have meanings. Now, when I say the word church, I don't know what comes to your mind. I don't know what, I mean, some of y'all might think about the cathedral in Rome, or you might think Pope Benedict this, the whatever, but the theological, we often say, speak Bible words and Bible names, but what if you don't know what Bible names are, what they mean? So, but the word church, I don't know what you're thinking about, but the Bible says that the word church means called out. Ecclesia, we often say that, ecclesia, but what does it mean? I don't know, but that's what the preacher said. Called out from where? Called out from the world. Called out, what does God use? It says that right there. The one in the seven wands, it says, called out, one hope of your calling. What does God use to call us out, Brother Banks? He used the word of God to call us out of darkness. It ain't nothing new. It's the same concept that's used in the Old Testament. There was the ecclesia, called out of where? Egypt. Who did God send? He sent Moses. What did Moses use? The word of God. Called out to where? Called out to be tempted and tested. Called out. And so, but when I look into the world, all of us look into the world, we see groups of people that are called out. And some of the Catholics, gotta call them out. I'm not, and if you know somebody that's a Catholic, bless your heart. You know, I ain't got nothing against them. But you know, this. Let them listen to this sermon here. You got the Jehovah's Witness called out. The Presbyterian called out. You got the Baptist. And it just goes on and then on. Groups of people called out. But they're not called out by the word of God. That's the problem. And I was telling the brethren this. And I don't know how to, before we understand this sermon, we got to understand some preliminary factors, because, you know, sometimes we study the Word of God with folk, and people just say, yeah, Bible study, and they don't even know what they're saying yeah to. I would prefer people not to say amen if you don't understand nothing. I know I didn't. I'm not saying amen because everybody else saying it. Amen means to let it be so. If you understand it, say amen. But if you don't, learn, wait a while and understand it. But when it comes to understanding the church, your mind matters. Now, the Bible says, young people ask the question, why did God allow Satan? Why God didn't stop the serpent from tempting Adam and Eve? I mean, that's no fair. I mean, that's just not right. I mean, you know, why didn't God stop it? Go away, you old serpent. Stop it. We know he could have, but he didn't. And everything that God does, he does it with wisdom and for a reason. We know that. We might not know the reason, but we know there is a reason. Well, I could tell you the reason. We can come up with the conclusion. Well, the Bible says that man is made in the image of God. Ain't that right? Genesis 1:26. Man is made in the image of God, and being made in the image of God, man was created to think. I'm going to say that slowly. Man, we have a jelly-like substance between our ears, and the purpose of that Every part of the body has a purpose. Your heart, your lungs is designed for air. Your heart pump blood. Your kidneys filter stuff. The stomach is for the food. And every last part of our organs is designed for a specific purpose. And so, if we look at it like from that perspective, no wonder the Lord said food is for the belly. Pork chops don't make you lie. Food ain't got nothing to do with you telling a lie. Might be get bad for your cholesterol, but food ain't got nothing with a person committing adultery. Food ain't got nothing to do with you lying, stealing. No. That's a mind problem. But when it comes to the organ of the mind, this was designed to think. Because God is a rational and logical being. The very essence and nature of God is logic and rationale. That's why we have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit. All three have to be in harmony. That's why black folk are so emotional, it's called emotionalism. White folk are cerebral, intellectualism. They're so intellectual, they suppress the emotion. Negroes suppress the intelligence and let the emotions run wild. That's just as guilty. But God wants us to be perfectly balanced, centered down the line. Why? Because we are spiritual beings. He wants us to think. And so, with that being said, God did not stop Adam and Eve, stop Satan, the serpent, because he wanted them to think about his law and make a choice. Why? Because we're free will beings. Is that simple enough? Yes. We're free will beings. We just free. If you want to be a fool, you're free to be a fool. You ain't going to live long. But you free to act and be a fool. God ain't going to stop. And so for this very same reason that the head of the covenant of man, Adam, was tempted, don't you think Christ? Adam, Christ is the first Adam. Jesus is the second Adam. Adam messed it up. He had a wife. But Christ has a wife. He ain't going to mess it up. It's our mind. And when it comes to our mind, and so no wonder in my mind, when Jesus said, blessed art thou, upon this rock I build my church in the gates of hell, which means Satan, that implies separation, right? Satan is there. No doubt in my mind, Satan was listening. That old rascal was listening. So I ain't going to stop you. I ain't going to stop you. And so the devil was listening. Of course he listened. He was there in the wilderness. And so we know how it goes. Jesus died, right? He was buried. And he was resurrected. Did all that in front of Satan's face. And now I left here, left Peter with the keys. Now the church is here, the body is here, right? The body is ready to function, just like God prepared a physical body to put on. Now he did what he designed it to do. Well, the church is a spiritual body. And just like Jesus' body was tempted, the body of the church will be tempted. Do y'all see where I'm going? Y'all see it? That Satan will attack the mind. His job is to deceive us. And that's how we can distinguish the identifying marks. We know that the identification of the church, we know that there was real people in the first century. That wasn't no figurative language and all that. What? Jerusalem is real. I wish we could fly over there. Huh? The Red Sea is real. God did real powerful things in geographical, real places. Huh? Dead Sea real. Sea of Galilee real. Rome real. They even try to take Christ out of history. They don't say B.C. no more. They say before Common Era. Well, and then my daughter said, that means, well, Daddy, that's the Roman Empire. Well, guess what? God got him. Because Jesus was born under Rome. Huh? How you like that? You can't separate the world, his world, from his world, God's world, from the spiritual world. They both intertwine. And so the identifying marks,
God, reason why God will not stop Satan, because he wants us to think. He wants us to think and use logic. And so God, if I
remember going to a lectureship about the devil, and there was a sermon, brother priest said, if I was a preacher for the devil, I would preach this. And see, and we talk about knowing how God thinks, but don't we know how Satan thinks, huh? Oh, amen, lights. Oh, yes, we know how he thinks. Because why? Because that same thing in him is in us. It's called sin. See, they bit off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We got both of that in us. So that's how we can think. And a brother said, you know what? If I were the devil, if I was the preacher of the devil, I would put up some churches all over the place. And I will put this, and I will put this. Because, see, the devil is intelligent, you see. And I would tell people, join a church of your choice. And I would tell people, because as I see, people don't read their Bibles. They got so many people. When I knock doors, so many people in the religious world claim to know the Bible, and then they don't know the difference between Abraham and Noah. They think Abraham built the ark. Yeah, I'm serious. Y'all laughing, but that's for real. They you know what? They're too ashamed to say they don't know, Brother Reed. And one of the things, Jesus said, blessed is the poor in spirit. Identifying the marks start when you become humble and say that you don't know. And so the devil puts all these religions up, and God allows him to do it. Because the Bible says he's the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He's a slanderer. He is the accuser between God. See, this thing is between God and man. God and Satan. Man is in the middle. It's like a bad custody battle, right? You know, he can't hurt God, but he can hurt man. You hurt man, you hurt God. And so guess what? But God ain't going to do nothing because he gave us his word, brother. Ain't that right, brother? See, I mean, and preachers try to tell us, hold on to the word of God. Even in the book of Ephesians, we can see in the sixth chapter that the Bible says that put on the full armor of God. The church is at war. The church is at war. And so, brethren, as I stated, we got 366 different denominations, but no problem. I got some FBI brothers up in here, law enforcement agents. They know about counterfeits. Huh? That ain't nothing new. It goes back from the mind. Jeremiah said, who can trust the mind of man? It's wicked. Huh? God don't care about your mind, because you need a new mind. Any man in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. Your mind messed up. So your man's mind is messed up. So if man can come up with a way to counterfeit money, which comes from a mind of a man, then that implies, and a counterfeit implies a reality. And, you know, I had counterfeit money, not on purpose. You know, I didn't know. Circulation. All right, to clarify that. Circulation. I didn't know. I didn't know. The lady said, she took it and, oh, this ain't. I'm like, hey, what you doing? I didn't know. I mean, you took it to a, sir, this is counterfeit. By law, I could take it. And I'm, okay, ma'am. Oh, hey. You know, but she got the pen and all that stuff. You know, in other words, you know, it's deception. And that's evil, by the way. Because we know they got sincere folk, good folk, in places where that God never heard of. And it causes us to compromise the truth. But a counterfeit it implies a reality. And so basically, brethren, we have counterfeit churches.
unfortunately. We have counterfeit churches. But in the text before you, one Lord, one faith, one spirit. You can't destroy the Bible. If man, now let's go back to man, come out the Bible a little bit. Man said, well, you know, we got some corrupt or neck checks. And even gold. I mean, if it's worth money, Brother Emmett, man can duplicate it. Even fake Nikes. Even Stacey Adams, I guess he's real. Man can put the name on it and put all that stuff right on it. And guess what? And you can take some fake Nikes and take it to the Nike person. He's like, sir, this is counterfeit. If man can come up with a way, I want to counterfeit this, counterfeit that. God, and he said, well, I got to come up with a way to stop that. And then identity theft. People take your identity. Who ever thought people could take your identity, huh? Man can counterfeit that too. Man put in there, the law put in there, well, so our bright minds, well, we need to do something. We're going to come up with a copyright system to prevent that. And then we got a system with the money to prevent that. Well, I just don't believe that man is smarter than God. If man can come up with a way to stop counterfeits, don't you think God can copyright the church? I mean, think about that. And we can see it in the text. What do you think the purpose of the Holy Spirit? His job is to preserve the truth all down through the ages. That's his job. You see, as I stated, the Trinity, and you can see the Trinity right up in here. You're not going to find the Godhead separated. Oh, they tight. Oh, they tight. We might not be tight. Oh, you can't separate them. You might can separate, he can separate brothers and sisters in Christ, but you can't separate the Godhead. Oh, no. Because why? That's the prime example of unity. Huh? And that's the prime, if we want to see submission, we got to look at Christ. Because Christ was under, he was under the Father, which says that if Christ can submit, what about us? So the unity is demonstrated. You can't separate them two because the Holy Spirit, God the Father, sent Christ into the world. He did what he was supposed to do. Now the Holy Spirit said, now it's my turn. Oh, it's my turn now. I could, it's interesting. You see the Spirit hovering in Genesis. And you see the Word say, let there be light, God the Word. What you don't see in Genesis is God the Father, because he came up with the plan. You see all three working. But now we in the Holy Spirit age, not in the miraculous age, but in a sense that the Holy Spirit preserves the truth so that we can identify what's real and what's not. Do that make sense? And that's why the identifying marks is very simple. If you look at the voice of history, God wants us to look at history. Look at history. We live in an age of technology. We live in an age of technology where you could just Google any of these churches and they'll go right back to the man's name. They'll tell you when he was born. They'll tell you what year, where it started, how it started. It's amazing the technology that's today. It's amazing how you can go to your encyclopedia and type in a word of this, a word of that, and it will bring up, like, wow, that's interesting. I remember when I first became a Christian, the sister told me, don't you become part of something that started by a man. I was like, what does that mean? That sounds interesting. Started by a man. She said, that Baptist church was started by a man. Because I was going over there by Luther. Luther was interesting. He the false teachers use logic, too. Now, we ain't the only one who use logic. They use logic, too. But they use it for evil reasons. Because they know some of us in the world don't read our Bibles. But the voice of history said that it was the time was 1606. The place was Holland. The founder, John Smith. The group is the Baptists. Now, prior to 1607, nobody ever even heard of no Baptists. It ain't even recorded in history.
Let me give you an example. I was born 1971, and if I started a Derrick church or something, and charismatic, and it grow and grow, and then 2,000 years later, that thing blowed up. It got a big picture of me. Huh? I'm gone now. It's gonna read when somebody write a track about me and preach to one church. He a false teacher. And they're gonna say born time was 1971. Place New Orleans. Founder Derrick Wilson. Church of Mardi Gras or something. I don't know. Now, prior to 1971, nobody even heard that. Look at history. The Holy Spirit wants us to look at history, because you know why? God is the God of history. You can't separate God from the world. Oh, didn't y'all know that? He controls history. Young people.
And so they're identifying Mark. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And was Jesus talking about the Baptist church? All you got to do is look it up. And if somebody picture come up, and even the Catholic Church, the Catholic persuasion,
they say Peter is the Pope. I looked it up. I was curious. And it said by traditions. Like what traditions? Now, the Bible says, in vain do they worship me, teaching the traditions and doctrines of men. Jesus already covered that. Did he not? Something wrong with that picture. I don't want to see no tradition. And why in the world are they going to lie on Peter like that? Peter, just because Peter had the keys of the church, that didn't mean the church belonged to him. You give your children the keys of the car, that don't mean they own the car. somebody lied on Peter. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Petra, small rock, I'm going to take the small rock and put it on top of the big rock, the foundation. So I don't know how they got that mixed up, but they say that Peter is the Pope and Peter was married. And nowhere in the Bible do we see men calling Peter father. In fact, Peter was there when Jesus said, don't you call no man your father, but there's only one father which is in heaven. But they wait till Peter died to do that. And now you see on television, kissing his hand and feet and all that. That's not the church. The identifying marks. You see, I'm not going to go through all the stuff. Just Google it. Google it. Sometimes technology can help you preach. Just Google it. At one time, preachers couldn't do that. They had to put a big chart on the wall and all that stuff, charts in it. You know, Google it if you don't believe me and find out. Check it in Britannica Encyclopedia. Just check it out. See if I'm lying. Check behind what I'm saying. Check the voice of history. And even when you look at the theological concept of the church, it's a body. No two people are alike. Huh? Everybody in here got bodies. You could take two twins. I'm told that they got, different fingerprints? Is that true? Wow, how you like that? And I drive a school bus. Sometimes they got twins. Some parents got to put ribbons on their arm and stuff. Can't tell them the difference. Can't distinguish the difference between the two. But how you like that? You mean tell me in the biological world, God can make a distinction with the body of a human being, but in the spiritual world, he can't do it with Christ? And there's nobody like Christ. Nobody. Huh? God, just like God broke the mold for you, you don't think he broke the mold for Christ? That mold is broke. Check the marks, the identifying marks. Well, preacher, you've been saying the identifying marks. Well, what are the identifying marks? I'm glad you asked.
I'm glad you asked. Well, before I tell you the marks, what name are they called? We know that the Church of God, it's called the Church of the Lord, House of God, the Pillar of the Ground of Truth, the Family of God. Plenty of names. The concept church identifies the nature. It's not necessarily a name. It's a nature, right? But let me caution you. Just because you call it the Church of God, or put a whatever, even if you call it something out of the Bible and put a name on it, that don't make it the church. You know, that's like putting a Mercedes-Benz emblem on a Toyota. You can do that. You're going to look crazy. I mean, you know, and guess what? You'd be driving down the road with a four-cylinder Toyota with a Mercedes-Benz emblem. You can have you can take the name off it, put Mercedes 400 on a prism and put it on the front, put the hubcaps on it. See, laugh at it. Go ahead, do all that stuff, and then, you know, walk, drive around, and people, man, how you like that Benz? All I'm gonna say, can I check under the hood? You know, all you gotta do is check under the hood. Got that little peon engine? Man, this ain't no Mercedes. You can put whatever name on it, you gotta check under the hood. So don't be deceived when you see Church of God. I just can't understand it. Then you got some call themselves Saint Mary. That's the name of a woman. And then they name it after a mountain. That's Mount Zebo. That's the name of a mountain. Why not call it what the Bible calls it? Huh? Call it by its nature, the people of God, the Church of Christ. And the only reason, theologically, we chose, brethren chose the Church of Christ is because out of this book. Don't you know that the identifying marks is all in the book of Ephesians? I didn't talk about the church as a bride. Christ is married to the church. Did y'all? These are the pictures of the church. See, God give us word pictures. In case you ain't even got to know how to read. And preachers said church is married to Christ. Now, I see an audience, my wife right there. You can put my wife and a whole bunch of in a room full of women. I only have one wife. Can you imagine? Brother Reed said, Brother Wilson, come to my house. And I said, Brother Reed, which one is it? It's the house of your choice. Logic. If it don't work in the... I'm going to say, Brother Reed, now, you come on now, Brother Reed. You know, I'm going to get shot or something. Well, that's not even logical. Somebody put numbers on the house. The address is so that you can identify the house. Huh? That's why we put names on. Is there anything in a name? Yeah, well, yeah. You got to make a distinction. Even in kindergarten, a room full of children, all them jokers got names on their backpack. Huh? What if they have no names and you go to pick the child of your choice? You give birth to a child and all them babies in the newborn room, right? And you go to pick your child up. And I said, what's one? I'm going to here to pick my child. It's the baby of choice. Boy, look, you know that maternal instinct. It smell every last one of them. That, huh? If it don't work over here, why will it work when it comes to using our mind when it comes to the church? So the identifying marks. Very simple. We know what they are. Titles. Nobody call father, reverend. We don't call brother
Reed, brother Banks, brother Emmett. And one identifying mark. What I like about this sermon, the marks right here in the building. Them brethren are authorized to be elders. That don't mean that they the boss. Their job is to hold your feet to the fire. How you like that? And guess what? Your job is to hold theirs to the fire. How you like that? And guess what? And in fellowship, we hold each other's feet to the fire. So everybody hold their feet to the fire. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. What's wrong with that? Somebody, God put human beings like you, living in a world like you, to make sure your mind is right. What's wrong with that? And then authorize, obey them that will rule over you. That's an identifying mark. God ain't fixed it where you got this one man over a church of your choice and all that stuff, a location near you and all that stuff. These brethren are here, God holding them responsible for the autonomy right here. Why? Because of the seven churches of Asia principle. Got Louisa in the audience. They're not over that. I mean, Louisa is to be governed by the church, by the Bible, just like we are. The Bible over there, it better be over there. Why? Because the Bible, because God is everywhere. Ain't that something? The Bible is all over the world. It's all in every hotel. It's even in a Muslim country. How you like that? We ain't got no Quran everywhere, but we sure got the Bible. How did God do that? Can't stop God. The terms of entrance. Jesus is the door of the church. He said, no man come to the Father but through me. Very simple. You got to go through by grace. Are ye saved through faith in baptism? By grace, by what Jesus did. The atoning work of Jesus. That's why we go into heaven. Because of what Jesus did. Not because you got a good attendance record. Because you here at the building first. Well, you know, Lord, I'm here first. Through faith is the means. That's the instruction. The Holy Spirit going to make sure God don't work directly on us. He worked indirectly through the word to our mind. So guess what? You got to dust it off, y'all. Take it off the coffee table, dust it off, and open it up. You know, the boy said, I'm going to the gospel meeting. I'm going to get the power. Going to get the power. And man said, boy, he don't realize he got enough power in his arm. Blow his arm off. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. For the Jew first and also to the Greek. In other words, but the power works when it gets inside this power. When it gets inside here, that's how it works. What did it say? Knowledge is power, Brother Wilson. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power when you apply that knowledge. That's when it becomes power. When a man can turn away from liquor. When a man can turn the other cheek. When a man can do what's right. When he know back in the past, there was a time, boy, there was a time I would have slapped you. But now, the Spirit of Christ rules my heart. That's power right there. That's power. Brother Reed is a big man. I'm glad he's my brother. But guess what? He under the power of Christ. I appreciate that. He a big fella, but guess what? He submit to that power. All of us ought to submit to it. Which means another identifying mark. If any man in Christ, let us, whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the name, the authority principle. You know, I get that. You can't do whatever you want in the church. You can't, look, once again, you can't do whatever you want in the secular world. Amen, lights. Now, well, why when we, why when we talk about the secular world, we get it. I get it. I remember I was driving a bus, and I dropped a child off unauthorized. I was unauthorized to drop the child off.
and they wrote me up because they say you did not check with the authority of the DeSoto County School. I broke the law or something. Thank God, because that child would have, I just wasn't thinking. Y'all, this wasn't working. I don't know what I just wasn't thinking. But I got to thinking now, we live in a world where when you, on our jobs, we got the point system, don't we? I mean, you got 4-5 points, they gonna let you go or stuff. We got things intact to hold you accountable. Even when we drive, the authority says, Gretna say 35 miles. Boy, they enforcing that law, huh? And they even came up with a law to put cameras everywhere. To what? To hold you accountable to the authority. So that when you break the authority, you're gonna have to pay the consequences. Well, if man can hold man's feet to the fire in the secular world for authority, what about God? I told brother, God don't need a badge and a gun. Come in whenever you want, worship him whenever you want. We all know the five acts, but I'm going to just, the worship is an identifying mark. I'm going to just deal with the one with the music. There's no authority. We don't have no mechanical instrument. I used to be frustrated by that. Like, why we don't have no mechanical instrument? Yeah, because that's the way the Bible wants it. But why? That's the way the Bible, you know. But why, brother? Well, that Church Choir has been preaching that for long. But I know that, but why? That ain't good enough for me. It's very simple. You live long enough, you'll understand. It's called the authority principle. There's no authority. We have specific commands and general commands. Singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, the text says. Well, the scholars say the word melody is pluck the chords. Pluck the chords of what? Well, you take that one word out. Make a melody in your heart. You take that one word off, heart, out. And that changes, that gives you the authority to roll a piano up in here and clown. But it says make a melody in your heart, the mind, unto who? Brother Reed? Unto Brother Emmett? Who? To God, right? God is the one that's listening. Who made that heart? The heart is an instrument. Did you know that? Your mind is an instrument. So God wants us plucking the mind. Boop, boop, boop. Plucking the chords of the mind. Which means that we got some folk, you know why they don't sing? Because they don't believe. It's hard to sing it's hard to sing about a place you know you might not be going. I'm just saying, you know, if you know you ain't living right, and you know you just left somebody's house. And you know, huh? And we sing that song, When the Road Is Called Up Yonder. I used to, I wasn't always right. You know, I was singing that song to myself. I used to sing it within my own heart. I said, Lord, when the road is called up yonder, I hope I'll be there. I mean, I used to sing, you know, the song, When the Road Is Called Up Yonder, I'll be there. I wasn't living right, I wasn't acting right. This was before I was married. All right, before I clarify that. Before the children. All right. The new convert stage, you know. But I sing like the role. I started thinking about that song. When the roll is, see, music's supposed to get you to think. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. We're gonna talk about that roll. When that books are open, them books, and your name ain't, I'm gonna leave that alone. When your name is not in that book. That's what he's talking about, that role. And so I'm like, well, when the role is called beyond the, I'll be there. Well, that's a positive song. That's encouraging you to say, just keep your name on the roll. But if you ain't living right, it's hard to sing that. If you ain't evangelizing, as another identifying mark, you never mention him to me. You walk past me day by day, you knew I was astray. I let you borrow my lawnmower, and you couldn't even tell me there was only one church. Huh? These songs, oh, I want to see him. It's hard to say, oh, I want to see him. Oh, some folk don't want to see God.
You know, it's hard to sing that. Why? Because the mind. And by the way, that's a good thing. Your mind is convicted. Even in that context. Even in that context. It's the mind. Don't be drunk with wine, which is excess. Because why? The principle is alcohol influences the mind. Right? And guess what? Be sober. Be vigilant. You don't need liquor to influence your mind. Because some of our minds influence with bad attitudes. Come to worship. I wish he would tell me something. I wish he would knock this off. I wish he would. Little boy said, he was standing up. He said, sit down. Grandma said, sit down. And he's sitting down. I'm sitting down, but I'm standing up inside. Worship is when the mind is bowed down. Adoration. Worship God in spirit, in mind, and in truth, according to the word. Your mind must be bowed down. You ain't got to dim the lights and all that stuff and go to, some kind of dim the lights and let's hold hands and try to create an environment and all that. You know, if you ain't worshiping, your mind ain't working. Y'all heard the song, your body is here. Your mind was somewhere else. On the other side of what? On the side, y'all, you take your halos off, it's on the other side of town. Well, your body here, but y'all mind, some of y'all mind on that Saints game, amen. I'm going to leave it alone. Now, but those are identifying marks. We got the brothers to show you. And so all you got to do is take your little Bible references thing out there, acts of worship, and upon the first day of the week, that phrase is used to take the Lord's Supper. His phrase is to commemorate the death in the body until the coming of the Lord, until he come. Upon the first day of the week is used to pick the money up. Now they got that part right. They got that right. And then, but when it comes to the Lord, well, the same phrase upon the first day of the week is used for the You see logic. And you ask them that, well, they say, well, it's interpretation. Can we all understand the Bible? Like, you know what? We are free to interpret the Bible however you want. But once again, when you die and stand before God, man, God ain't going to judge you on if you know hermeneutics. The law of interpretation, right? And so those are the identifying marks. Most importantly, there's no way in the world God would simplify, would complicate the truth. God is not the author of confusion. The gospel is simple. I used to think it was hard. If you believe, you want to be baptized, you can be saved. How hard is that? That's very simple. That day, even in the context, repent and be baptized. And you can keep on reading. When did they do it? The very time on that same day. Then they say that on the same day, Jesus added them to his body. How you like that? So this thing, you're saved, and then you're baptized. You better be careful on that. Investigate it. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation by putting on Christ, obeying his word, walking by faith and not by sight, or if you have been straddling the fence, I got to say, hey, everybody ain't right. And tomorrow we're going to look at the church in the past. Folk in the past was deceived. Folk, you see the implications of folk today can be deceived. Folk in the past, mind wasn't right. Presently, folk today, mind ain't right. They needed restoration. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. We need restoration. Just because you attend worship don't mean you're going to heaven. Yeah. And if you find that you're in the scales of one, the balances, you need restoration. But that's where we're going with the series of lessons. I appreciate your attention. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, please do so as we all stand and sing.